The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Yeah, popping that Zevia. Hi, guys. It's Nikki Glaser. Here I am. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday on the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Coming to you straight from St. Louis. Bi-curious from St. Louis, I should say. Andrew Collins in the next room with his girlfriend Brenna. Miss you so much, Brenna. I just miss her when I leave the room. She got into town yesterday. We had a really fun hang last night with the family. My parents came over. Kirsten was here. We went on Instagram Live. Maybe some of you saw that. If you missed it, it's because you don't follow Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram. We had a good freaking time on there. It's been a while since we'd done a live on there, but we got to bring them back. I've just been so busy that it's I haven't thought to do it. But I love going live on there. It's just it's so much. I don't even go live on my own ever. I don't think. Just love giving it right to the besties. How are you all doing out there? Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. Wait, why did you squint your eyes like that? Did I seem not well yesterday?
No, it did make it sound like I was like concerned about you and like it was like based on some kind of information.
What kind of vibes am I putting out?
I asked you yesterday, how are you? How have you been?
Oh, thank you.
We've been so like, just get in here, record, no kind of pleasantries, boom, boom, done, go. Like there's been no interaction because I've just been running around. How have you been lately?
You know, I was trying to, I was thinking about it yesterday. I've just been feeling very unmotivated. And Avi asked me, he's like, are you depressed? And I'm like, no, I'm not depressed. And then I've just kind of like had that in my mind, like, am I depressed over something? And like, I'm trying to figure out why I just don't feel motivated. You know,
motivated
I don't have that
to what?
Extra.
Like, what is there something on your mind that you're like, oh, I got to get that done? Is this the thing that you would have spent $100,000 on yesterday? Like house stuff?
Maybe that's adding to my depression because it's a big burden. But I just don't feel motivated to do anything extra. Like even with jiu-jitsu, I'm not like in it like I was 2 years ago. I don't feel like going and exploring Tucson. You know, like I'm not doing the things that I enjoyed before. I don't know
I think
what
this
I enjoy.
Sounds like a you know, the symptoms of depression on a Zoloft ad. Are you not enjoying things you once enjoyed? Are your beloved family members asking if you're depressed? No, it's, I mean, whenever I kind of feel depressed, like there's always symptoms where you go, why do I feel fat today? And like, it's, why am I comparing myself more? Why am I getting in? Why am I not curious? I feel like that is a sign of it, of like not being curious about the world. And I think that's a symptom of depression. Like you not wanting to explore Tucson or just, are you just tired?
Yeah, I feel so like burnt out, I think.
Same. Yeah.
And I feel guilty over it.
Seasons. And then the guilt doesn't help anything because
right. Like,
that's
what am
only
going to
make
over?
You more sad.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the guilt is like, I think that's a definite like that, the guilt causes so much of the feeling that we're feeling guilty about. It's just such a self-fulfilling thing, you know?
Yes.
Like, never have I felt guilty and felt better for feeling guilty. You know, like, I think it's, we feel guilty so we can feel like we're acknowledging that what we're doing is wrong so that it lifts some of the burden of being wrong. Because if you're just in denial of it, that's not good. But it's like, it's less about feel like guilt. Whenever people feel guilty, I'm just like, I mean, what does that give you? It just gives you, it just adds to it. It never has solved anything. And I know that's just easier said of like, anxiety has never made someone, like worrying about something doesn't solve it. But sometimes it does because you like think about it a lot and then you figure it out, I guess.
Right.
But the guilt is like, you have the guilt of like, I'm being lazy. I mean, I feel like that's what everything comes back to is like, especially for Americans, I think we're just so scared of feeling lazy.
It's
because what do you have guilt over of not exploring Tucson? Like, or whatever it is.
So for me, it's like feeling guilty over the possibility of being depressed. Like, I have it really, really good right now in my life that I should not feel depressed, you know? Like, yeah. I don't deserve to feel depressed because
I don't deserve it. Yeah, like, I relate to that a lot. But it's almost like, you know, depression's like a cold. Like, you caught a, it's not your fault. And it's like in your brain. And yeah, there are things you could be doing to get out of it. Oh, go for a walk outside, meditate, call a friend. Like, there's all these like things you could do, but sometimes those things are too difficult to do. And a symptom of the sickness that you have, or like the little bout you're going through, is not being able to do those things. You know, like it's like asking someone who has a cold, just breathe clearly through your nose. That's the same as telling a depressed person, just go for a walk outside. Or, you know, and I think just with mental illness things, it just seems like so like, well, you have legs at work and there is outside and it's not raining. Just do that. And it's just, or take a shower or get out of bed and make your bed. Like, those things are just as difficult as, like, you know, telling someone who has a broken leg, just walk on it. But it's nearly impossible. So it's like, I would say forgive yourself. I would say that I think you should be allowed to say that you're depressed, even though your life is good but on paper. Because I don't know. You know what? I think a lot, and I hate saying it's PMS for me sometimes, because that kind of makes men not be able to have that excuse, or it feels like you're just giving an excuse. And then when you feel depressed and you're not about to start your period, you're like, well, then it's just me being wrong. But like, anything that is you, you don't want to be depressed. Like, if you could like check a box and like tomorrow it's like wake up depressed or not, you would like check the box that said not depressed. Like, no one wants to be depressed. I mean, some people do maybe, because sometimes I get depressed and I do want to stay depressed because I feel like it's my depression makes me feel like I'm seeing things the way they are, because it's often a very negative outlook. The world is ending, you know, climate change, what's the point? We're all going to die. Nothing matters. Like, I feel like, oh my God, I see things like so clearly, and I don't want to be happy and delusional and walk around like nothing's wrong when everything is wrong. Like, I don't want to be one of the sheep. So sometimes I fight it because it just feels right. But I don't think anyone wants to feel depressed. So it's just so hard when things aren't a physical, like, manifestation of whatever it is. And when you're just like, I can't track the source of it. Because you even said, you go, what's going on in my life right now that's making me depressed? And sometimes it is nothing. Sometimes it's just a hormone change that is like at a molecular level, and you don't have any say over it, or you wouldn't be able to see it or point at it. But I definitely feel that way about, lately I've just felt, what was I doing last night? That was just I did the same fucking thing last night. Noah, I was kind of a brat to my parents, which is just, you know, there are cameras filming me. And after my parents leave, like, the people with the cameras are like, that was great. I mean, you didn't even need to say anything. We could see it on your face how annoyed you were. And I was just like, I'm going to come off like such a twat in some of these things, and I've always felt that way. Like, when I get like bratty with my parents, my friends who are like, on paper, your parents are great. They're so cool. They're so nice. They're fun. But to me, they don't see the little thing. Like, they're my parents, so they're super annoying. And last night, Kirsten was like, no, you know, if people end up seeing this thing and they judge you for being a brat to your parents, they'll understand that everyone's, like, your own parents make you crazy no matter how good they are. But the thing is, I don't agree with that. Like, even though we all know that, we still think, well, if I had her parents, I wouldn't be like that. Because you know, we were talking about it yesterday, my friend Sarah Lena, the girl, like, even though I know that her life, she still has insecurities, I've heard them, I still secretly think if I were her, I wouldn't have those. If I had Nikki's parents, yeah, I'm a dick to my parents, but, and I know that everyone is, has triggers with their parents. I don't think people are kind of empathetic enough to understand that. So I think I just come off looking like a bitch. But I was asking my mom to tell me why, because they were, we were all like freestyling a song about me moving back to St. Louis or whatever, which already feels self-indulgent that we're all talking about me, but that's kind of like the, it's just, it's uncomfortable to have this thing, these cameras around me, because all the conversation kind of has to be about me. And I'm already like worried I'm a narcissist and all these things. And now, you know, I have people being like, hey, can you talk about the pressures of Hollywood as a female comic? And I'm like, my parents don't want to hear about me shifting it to like, so in LA, I really feel like, it's just like, I just have to steer the conversation back to myself all the time. And it just feels so self-indulgent. I bet people on the, that watch whatever might, the cameras might be capturing, might think, God, she is really full of herself. So last night we were singing about my return to St. Louis. And I want to know what you think about this. My mom kept going like, we're so glad to have you back. Like, we're just like, she's just like, we love having Nikki back. And I just kept going, why? Like, I just want to detail, like, why? And I wasn't saying that to be like, I don't trust that you do, because I know they do. But like, why? And she's like, because it's just great having you back. And I'm just like, that's not an answer. And so I kept going, why? And then it led to like, well, then we joked because it's because I bought her a car. And that was like funny. And then I just kept, then it got to be like, I almost got offended. Like, can you give me one answer that you like having me around? Because what I, the conclusion I came to is like, they're like, it's fun having you around. I'm like, again,
in what way?
Like, in what, like, is that weird of me to want a specific? I know that's like crazy, but I just want to know, like, what, like, what, last, yesterday, my mom, we went to go get Botox, which is a whole other thing. But we went to go get Botox, and my mom got, like, filler, which I'm so proud of her. It was, like, so weird and exciting. She was so cute when she got done. She's adorable. But, and she's never had anything on her face before, you know, any work done. And, you know, this was kind of, she wouldn't have done this had we not been participating in whatever thing we're doing. And she looked at me yesterday. We were like kind of close up waiting for, you know, something to be set up. And she was like, what are on your teeth? And I go, the attachments for my Invisalign, like these little like plastic dots. And she goes, what is that? And I go, that's my Invisalign. She goes, no, it's not. And I go, yes, it is. And she go, I go, I have had these on my teeth for 6 years. And she's like, no. And I go, mom, yes. And she goes, I have never seen. And I go, you've never looked at me. Like, just don't. And it's not like, I just don't think. And like, okay, so like after we shot this, or like after these cameras were here, the people with the cameras came in and were kind of like debriefing, like I said. And they're like, oh my God, that was so amazing. You guys working out like your family issues in song, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, isn't it interesting? She could not, I mean, and I kept bringing, we kept laughing like she had no reason for why she liked having me home. And then I would literally go, no, I'm serious. Like, why? Like, give me one reason you like me. And she like couldn't come up with one. And I was like, an example might be you're funny. She goes, why do you like being with us? And I go, because we like the same TV and you guys make me laugh at how you take it apart with me. Because you make really delicious food, because you guys are both hilarious, because you are both, and then I really couldn't come up with reasons because I'm like, we don't really, I like talking like serious things with people. I don't like having like surface conversations. And I realized that like, yeah, my parents just like surface kind of talk. And so I don't think we really know each other. So then I wanted to play a game where, if Andrew or my parents know me better, and I think Andrew would win. And so I bought a game from Uncommon Goods, one of our sponsors, called the Best Friends Game. And just, it's kind of those questions of like, who knows me better? And I guess it is very self-serving to be like, let's do a game about me, what you know. But there's some part of me, do you ever feel like no one, like your parents don't know you or like don't really care about like the details of your life?
Oh my gosh, yes. There, if I had to ask my dad the same question, he would just respond with either you're good or like okay. Like that's as emotional as he can get.
And that's why I don't understand when they want to hang out with me. I go, why? If because you made me? That's not a good enough reason. Like, because like...
At least they want to hang out with you.
Yeah, they... That's a good point. All right, well, at least I have that. But like, it needs to go beyond that. Like, for I was even talking to Andrew about this the other day. I don't understand, you know, this was kind of going off of our conversation about having guests stay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of times guests are just family members that are coming through town, like aunts or cousins. Wild, wild opinion here. I don't think I should have to go hang out with aunts or cousins just because I'm related to them by blood. I don't think that it should be required. If I'm an adult woman, if I don't really have much in common with my aunt or my uncle or my cousin, and I don't like care to like them, I don't, just because there's some blood that we both share or like lineage or whatever, unless I want to, I don't think I should have to. I'm tired of this like familial like duty because like, well, he's your uncle. Okay, so you're... Mom had sex one more time and made another kid, and now I have to go to a lunch where I don't. And then I hang out with these people, and they don't ask anything about me. They have no interest in my life. They don't want to talk about anything real. It's like, what did we do this for? I could have listened to a podcast where someone shared more. I could have listened, you know, like, I could have taken a nap where I learned more about myself or about you. Like, at least in a nap, I might have dreamt that we had an interesting conversation. This is fucking torture. I just don't understand why people want... I think people want to do things so that they can say they did them. And it's not really about the experience. It's saying, I went to lunch with my niece. I am a good aunt, or I'm a good uncle, or I'm a good niece or nephew. And it's like, that's not enough reason unless we're getting real enjoyment out of this. Like, I like seeing my parents because I like... They are funny and they are smart and interesting, and I like hearing their thoughts about shallow things because we're not getting too deep. And sometimes with my mom, I get her alone and we do get deep and I learn a lot. Yesterday I learned that she always wanted kids. Didn't know that. Guess I had never asked because I didn't want to know. Like, I guess I never wanted to ask, why did you have kids? She always wanted kids, and I asked Noah, as I do with like you and Kirsten and people in my life who want kids and just know they want kids, I asked her why. And she said,
oh,
because kids are so cute.
Okay.
My mom literally had the same reason that I made fun of in my special perfect about why women have babies, because they want a baby. Because babies are like, who doesn't want a baby? It's a baby. And I'm like, do you know that someday that baby is going to be some dude named Doug who's going to need to like get health insurance and like be like, Mom, what's your maiden name? I forgot my password to my, I can't get on Netflix. Mom, can you pay my bill? Like, it's just going to be a guy. Do they think they're going to have a child that like never grows up? Like, that's what people get dogs, because they're like, I like puppies. It's like, so that kind of disturbed me that my mom just wanted kids because we're cute, because God only knows. And then she goes, and I don't know where you got this idea that your sister was like beautiful. I never told you girls that you were beautiful. And I go, okay, I mean, that is true, but why? She goes, because I didn't want you to get a big head. And I go, I thought it was going to be because I didn't want you to like think that that was something of value and to make yourselves feel like that was why you're special. But it's because she didn't want us to feel special. My mom is doing her best, and I love her so much. And I actually learned a lot about her yesterday that I didn't before. But maybe someone relates to this. I really do love my mom. But it was interesting to hear that she only wanted kids because we're cute. Because, God, that phase only lasted a couple years for old Glazed Dog. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew! What up, And?
What's up?
How'd you sleep last night, bro?
I slept good with baby old Brennan next to me.
Yeah.
Actually, we woke up. We both woke up in the middle of the night, and I was hard, and
no.
God. I really just thought you were guys were gonna eat some pizza in the dark, but okay. So you were hard in the middle of the night,
and she like started giving me a hand job, but not like sexually. Just mm-hmm. kind of like she was like sleep, like it was like a sleep handy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
how did this even get started? Were you like, I'm hard, babe?
No, I think
was it nonverbal? Like everything?
Yeah, it was pretty much not. We were like zombies. And then I go, should we have sex? And I go, I'm trying to fall asleep. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, should we have sex? She goes, can we just skip that part and get to sleep? like it was just funny. Like she was like, can we just skip over that part? And
you mean the part that is the thing?
That I.
Wait, what did she just want you to jerk off? She meant
no. Just like nothing sexual. She just wanted to get back to bed, and I wanted to get back to bed. But I thought maybe sex. Sometimes when you have sex, then it leads to falling asleep. And she's like, let's just skip over that. And
didn't you guys have sex earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, you heard it?
No, I'm just guessing that you like jumped each other's bones when you first saw each other.
Yeah, but then we had a little bit of argument because the baseball game was on while we were having sex, and then the game increasingly got better. Sex was great, but ninth inning, 1-1, walk-off home run.
So you were like not present at all if you were able to hear the score and the innings and the how many people were on bases and stuff.
Yeah, for a couple of
innings. What base were you on?
For a couple of innings, I was in it, and then the game. You know,
how long were you having sex?
A long time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow! All right. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah, no, it's fine. We're fine. It was just funny. It's funny to compete because you know.
Because what did she say? Was she like, "Are you paying attention?" Like, did she call you out on it, yeah, or were you just like?
She's like, "I could feel you not paying attention."
Because where were you looking? Like, what? I mean, I really am reluctant to ask for more details, but Noah, I kind of want to understand, like.
Yeah.
We were doing, like, well, this is where the problem, I think, lied. We went to doggy.
Did you go get your baseball glove?
Yeah, I got my, I put on my stirrups, and I called my dad, and he didn't answer. But I dug up my grandpa, and we went to the game together, just like Shea Stadium back in 1988.
That true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we didn't dig him up, but we went to the game together.
Okay, yeah, I think that's probably I can...
Wait, you dug up your grandpa in 1988?
And he wasn't even dead yet. That's where he liked to sleep. Get away from my grandma.
He was a hoarder. You had to go wake him up and dig him out of the trash. Okay, so...
Yeah, so it was we were going to do doggy towards the wall. And then I was like, hey, why don't we...
No way.
And I didn't realize.
No way. But you go, can we shift... Did you act? This is the annoying part. If you acted like you wanted to do that just because of another reason other than the game.
No, I said, I go, there's two outs in the bottom of the eighth or whatever. So I addressed it and we laughed about it. So I thought it was cool. But yeah. It was more like, okay, but you're
How
not
How long do you have sex? Honestly, I can't believe you lasted a couple innings.
Probably 30, 40 minutes.
No way.
Yeah.
What were you doing for that amount of time?
We were in everything. You know, when you're not with someone for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
You break out all the stops.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The stops, all the hits.
And you can last. Did you take a Vag?
I did take a Vag.
Oh, okay. And then.
A chew.
And then you. So you took one of those, and then and you can last. Zoloft makes it so you can't finish, but it doesn't help you not last. It actually makes you last way longer, I'm guessing.
I become a human dildo because I can't orgasm, and I can't not knock it hard. So I'm just like, I might as well just, my penis is dead. It's just rigor mortis.
And when do you know when to stop then?
When the sun comes up. I mean, honestly, like, I mean,
when Joe Buck says, "All right, guys, great game tonight." Like, what?
Nice triple header.
When the 10 o'clock news finally starts.
I guess when I hear the rooster crow. No, which actually sounds like Joe Buck a little bit. I do have orgasms. It's just harder for me.
But if you're not having one, then when do you know when it's like, over?
You're just done. Hopefully she does, and then I'm done.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It ends on her. Not. I don't just go, hey, nah. Boys hanging it up. I was like, I do everything I can to please her, and then when she's pleased, and I feel like there's just no way, old dead penis is gonna walking dead head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call it a day. I just hang up the cleats.
Yeah. Know? I've had Kirsten here the past couple nights.
And how's that?
It's good, but I can't There's nowhere to. I can't masturbate when you have someone sleeping in your bed with you. And I've been like wanting to like I've just been like kind of depressed and wanting to do. I don't smoke weed anymore. I've been eating a little bit more than I've wanted to because I'm just that's a way to like anesthetize my feelings a little bit. But like, there's nothing I can do to just jolt me to have a jolt of like feeling that might like disrupt the thing in my brain saying like. You're not good enough. You're pale. Your spray tan is gross. You keep picking at your skin. Like all the things that I'm just like, last night, even my dad was like, what is that? Like on my leg. And I was like, oh, I pick at my skin because I have anxiety. And then just like moved on. Like he wanted to like some answer that was going to be like not disturbing. And I go, I just pick at it. And he was just like, what? Like, I think
He's like, pasta pad thai. Okay.
It was like, I think that honestly bummed me out. Like when other people see the things in me that are like he doesn't know about my, when people call it out that know that I, like, that's why I'm out about it. So if you call it out, I'm like, oh, it's because I told you about it. Yeah. But when someone who doesn't know about it is like, what the fuck are you doing to yourself? I'm like, shit, I've got a problem. And I think that's why I kind of spiraled.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, why am I in such a fucking bad mood after my parents left?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, I was just so down for some reason. And I think it was because yesterday was just it's been a long life, honestly. It's been a long life. It really has. Like, I can't even, you know.
No, I get it.
And I haven't taken a break and I haven't had a day off and... I don't even know when I'm picking at it again. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's tough when people see the actual like a physical thing that represents your whole life.
Yes.
And you can't.
And they go, what is going on there? So and I mean, that's pretty much saying like what's going on with your life?
Exactly.
And like, and that can be like, that's why you don't have to me, that's like why I don't have a boyfriend. Not because of that thing, but because I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't stop picking at my leg.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I just was so anxious.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what
you're saying. Much it hurt. I think it really hurt my feelings that my parents couldn't articulate why they like having me around.
Well, it was in a song form.
No, but then after the song, I go, no, truly. And then my dad kind of took me aside and was like, we love you because you're funny and you're fun. And he like kind of told me some things. But he had to like go in the next room and like, think about it and like I had to give him extra time like on the SATs to come up with why he likes his daughter.
Well, you did give him multiple choice. Yeah, I mean, and I think he chose D, none of the above, but oh my God. I know, but I think sometimes it's hard, like if I have trouble articulating why I love someone or
you
like
have trouble articulating the syllables in articulate.
Yes. But I think maybe your mom might be kind of similar, though. You know, it's like it's not always easy to like pinpoint. You know, I'm sure they could come up with specific stories where
they remember.
But the
thing is, I just don't think that they actually like me, and that might be the case. Like, I don't think they. I think that they probably talk massive shit about me behind my back.
What do you think they're saying, and why do you think?
I think they like me
because
I'm famous.
Okay.
I think they like me. They tolerate me because I'm. Like that they're like they love me obviously because I'm their daughter and they want to protect me and they let me live at home because they love me and they want me to be safe, but it's less about like we like who you are and more about like you're and I know they do like who I am. My dad is like because you're positive and my dad like sometimes cries when he like hears how much
their daughter like affects people's lives and like makes people feel special, and they see me meet my fans. Like sometimes I want them to see like my meet and greets so they can see like people love me and like really appreciate what I get do for them. And like, I'm not just some, cause every, I think every time we hang out, I feel like they're just like, God, Nikki and her like just bettering herself and all these like woo woo new age, like love yourself, accept yourself. Like I've accepted myself. They just kind of roll their eyes and they're like, that's for you. And it doesn't work for us, and stop projecting your own. Like they don't understand that it's a bigger thing and that it,
that. Yeah, but I mean, I think you're saying things that like, okay, if, how do I put this, where it's like, they're pretty simple people in a lot of ways, and I think like, everything you're saying, like, I'm bettering myself, I'm doing all, and they just like, want to eat their Oreos and not hear about that at 10 a.m., you could see why they could go, okay, you're being a little... a lot right now, and that's okay, but that doesn't mean that they don't love you. I mean, they show you through their actions all the time how much they love you. They show up, they take your dog when you need it, they like, they do things for you. If you call on your mom right now and you go, I need you, she would do whatever the fuck it takes to
I
be there.
I guess I just don't that's not like my love language, isn't like showing up for me. My love language is like, how are you feeling?
Yeah,
like what why do you like that kind of shoe? I mean, like, even like,
I get that.
Not like, oh my God, you're always so cute. You look beautiful. Yeah. Like my mom just said yesterday when we were getting Botox, she's like, cause one of the questions I had to ask her for the fact that there were cameras there to just like prompt conversation was, you know, mom, what made you get Botox? And she goes, well, you, Nikki, because she was like, ever, I've just seen you get so beautiful lately. And I just look at her and go, what did she do? She's so beautiful. All of a sudden, you're just like so gorgeous. And all my friends, they constantly are writing me saying, Nikki's so beautiful. Nikki looks so gorgeous. And I'm just like, that's like, I think she like, I think that my parent, my mom, like yesterday I said that, you know, I'm at a place in my life where I feel like maybe I'm not fully there, but I could be, I could, you know, have serious like facial disfigurement or something terrible could take all my looks from me or whatever. And I could still like be okay and like myself and not want to like die and not be a part of this world. It would be very hard. I'm not saying it would be like, ah, it's the same, but like.
It'd be hard for me too.
Yeah. But I feel like I said, you know, and I think you'd love me just as much if I were, you know, extremely overweight or whatever it is.
Yeah, if you
would. And the truth is, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
I think that my mom might, she would just be disappointed. And that makes, I think that makes me sad, is that I got more love from my parents when I became famous and beautiful. And that's what, why wouldn't I, that's why when as a kid and I wasn't that. My mom even said yesterday, Andrew, I just said this on the podcast.
Yeah.
She never told me and my sister, she goes, I don't know where you got this idea that Lauren was so much more beautiful than you. I never told either of you girls you were beautiful. I made a point never to say it. And I was like, at first I was like, oh, that's kind of, I never tell Poppy she's beautiful. I always say, you're so cute and you're so smart and you're so like fun and funny. And I don't say things about looks. Or I try not to. Sometimes it's hard because she is so beautiful. But I don't still want her to like have that value on that. And I thought that's why my mom said she didn't say we were beautiful. But I go, why did you not say that? And she goes, because I just didn't want you getting a big head and thinking you were better. Like, which is kind of the same idea, but it's more of like.
Yeah.
It's
hard
a weirder,
to be a parent because then it's
I know.
Because on the flip side, now she's telling you you're beautiful all the time.
And I hate it.
And you hate it.
Yeah.
So obviously there's somewhere in the middle.
No, I'm glad she didn't say we were beautiful as a kid. Yeah. I just think that her motivations for doing so were not the reasons you're not supposed to.
Oh, you think like a big head in the sense of she was competitive with you?
No. She just didn't want us thinking we were better than people, which by the way, like it's the same idea of like then you have value on that. But it's not about like, I don't want my daughters to like think that that matters so much. It's more about I didn't want them to know how much
power they could wield, because it's almost like, yeah, I didn't want you going around thinking you were hot shit, Nick.
Yeah. Well, see, that's tough too, because then it's like that created different kind of problems where you, because you're not
then
hearing
it. My dad
it,
heard I was said know, I was beautiful all the time. So I thought that's weird that one parent says it all the time and the other never says it.
Yeah, they're playing good cop, bad cop.
And also my mom used to say she was ugly all the time. So my mom clearly knows what is beautiful and ugly. If my mom's able to say it to herself in the mirror and I don't hear it from her about me, I think I probably internalized, I probably am ugly. Because if I was beautiful, my mom would tell me, because she tells herself she's ugly all the time.
Yeah. It's so tough. Because like my mom does the same thing. She'll say, oh, you're so handsome. And when I feel my ugliest sometimes, she'll be like, oh, my handsome boy. And I'm like, not this year. Like, or not this month. Like, I know how I'm looking right now. So she comments on my looks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then my dad, I don't think it's ever been like, you're a handsome boy, obviously. Right. It's different with father, son. But like, I think though it's STEM problems. If you don't hear that from your mom, then it's like, it's not that you want to be better than other people. You just want to be equal to other people. You don't want to feel less than if you never hear from her. If you're putting a lot of value on your looks.
Well, I was smart enough to know my mom isn't someone that walks around and doesn't judge people's looks, because I hear her do it all the time.
Yeah, so does my mom.
And to have no opinion of what my looks, I'm guessing if I were beautiful, she'd probably say something.
Yeah.
So her absence of saying something leads me to just, I always think 1,000 steps ahead. I have the brain, I have a weird brain. And so I think that I was like, okay, if this equals this, then this. And my dad tells me I'm beautiful, so obviously that's not a forbidden thing to say in my house. If you wanted to say it, you could. My dad says it every day, and my mom sits there quietly. It might be that my mom doesn't think I'm beautiful.
I know.
And she wasn't wrong. I wasn't as a kid. And she goes, yes, you were. And I go, it doesn't matter if I wasn't, but I got the idea that it was like.
But here's the thing. If you then ask her what she was doing, and she goes, well, you were beautiful as a kid. And then you go, no, I wasn't. You already have an idea of what you look like or who you were as a kid. So it's like, it's got to be frustrating to be on the other side when they do feel like that they're opening up or being honest and being either supportive or however they're talking to you. And then you're denying what they're saying. It's got to be frustrating, because then they're like, well, why am I even going to tell her anything if she doesn't believe me? Because it's, you know what I mean? Like, on their end.
Right.
To go, well, you know.
Yeah, she's practicing communicating with you. And I guess maybe if you give her, like, positive feedback, she might feel more open to being more emotional towards you, since it's hard for her to.
Yeah. I mean,
not to put the onus on them. Like, obviously.
No, they want nothing but the best for me. I know that. And so I'm saying that, like, I think that if I have kids someday and my husband is, and I don't want to say anything about the kids' beauty or looks, and my husband's constantly saying that they look beautiful, I would have a conversation with my husband of like, can we get on the same page about we don't comment on their looks? Or I need to get on your page, because it's going to seem weird if I say nothing, because in this house, you're setting the tone that we talk about those things. And the absence of talking about them equals, you're going to go do ugly. I'm ugly, because you don't tell someone they're ugly. I know that. I'm a smart enough kid to realize you don't tell someone to their face they're ugly unless it's your own face in the mirror. But if I was beautiful, my dad says it, my mom would say it. So the absence of it, I think, made me realize. And the fact that this even matters at all. I mean, this is a topic I've become obsessed with when I'm depressed.
Yes.
But it really hurts me. And then the denial that my sister was more beautiful than me and that my mom didn't notice and things like that. It's like, that makes me feel sad, because I believe her. I believe that she did not see a difference between our looks, because she does look at her girls the same way, and we were both beautiful, and she didn't want to give us either a big head. But I literally had a big head.
Yeah.
I think that she just, it makes me sad she didn't notice. Like, I think I would like to be.
I don't know. I see, and this is subjectively speaking, like, when I see pictures of you as a kid, I think you went through a couple awkward years, like we all do, like around like puberty time, where like you started to look, you looked older then than you did now.
You cannot deny that my no one can deny that my sister was more beautiful than me. And here's my mom denies that.
There was a time I saw a couple photos where I go, I didn't see it. I saw you being more attractive than your sister. She had a weird little Lloyd Christmas Dumb and Dumber.
That was before she got beautiful.
I know. I'm just.
It was before. I'll tell you, I used to hear I was skinny and beautiful and all the things when I was little, and then it stopped abruptly, and I got super depressed. And the fact that they weren't tuned into that.
But dude, I'm telling you, there's like other positives that came from that. Like I was told I was. I mean, I'm a comedian because of it. I was little, but I was a very cute kid. Like I was like model cute kid. My older brother was not as attractive. I think I got called cute more than him. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ugly by any means, but he didn't have anything on me. I was cute as fuck. That dude is doing pretty good.
Yeah, he is. And so, I'm doing pretty good.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I think
it comes back to I just want people to acknowledge and ask me how I feel. Like, I think that would have solved a lot, as being that. Like, Nikki, how do you feel? Like, you seem sad. What's going on? That hostess told Lauren that she should be a model and looked at me and didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like it means I'm ugly. Instead of being, like, I might have said that to them and they'd go, just shut up. I'm not listening to this right now. Shut up. That's so ridiculous.
That's not good.
That's
either.
What I got other than, well, tell me about that. That really seems hard to feel that way about yourself. What do you think that means about you? What, like, I just wish I would have had a little bit more of that. But the gift is that now I can give that to other, because I've been through that, I can give it to myself. I can talk that way to myself, because otherwise I'm lucky that I've like done the work to be like, something's wrong here. I didn't get something as a child and I need to find it. And I found it. And now I can give it to myself more than other people could give it to me. And also I can give it to other people. And so maybe someone is listening to this and maybe we'll hear their kids say the same thing. And instead of going, shut up, you're beautiful, they can go, I felt that way before and it's really hard and I don't see what you're talking about and I think you're beautiful, but tell me about how that makes you feel and some of your feelings, and just like hold them and let them cry instead of telling them.
I agree. Like I can't remember one time in my childhood where they're like, how are you feeling? Like there were no conversations like that because they were in their own head. They were dealing with their
divorce.
I don't
want to hear any of this. I don't want to hear.
So you know what
this.
It was? It was just sad for me.
I love talking about our feelings now. But that's all we talk about.
I know. I sometimes think like my only thing is like for you, I'm like, it's not about a day off from work or like all that stuff. Sometimes I just wish you had a day off from your own brain. Like I really,
you and
I
me
know,
both, brother.
I know.
That's what I used to do drugs for. And
yeah, that's true.
Drink. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Oh man, it's Thursday. You know what that means? It is Thursday out there. And boy, are they having all the swells.
Thursday means it's Thursday?
Yep.
God, and Wednesday means it's Wednesday. Thanks for getting us there. We would not be able to get there ourselves.
I mean, look, sometimes it takes a
bridge. It's so funny that you just said you wish I had a vacation from my brain. Like, that is so sad to me that that a friend of mine is just like, I wish you just like didn't have to be you for a day.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
But I feel
the same. No, I get what you're saying. Yes.
I'm like once every like I whatever. Anyhow. But
how
yeah.
would I do that? Let's get to the news.
I think even on a beach, you're getting like you're finding something wrong with the sand.
Oh, God. I hate the beach. And the sun will like highlight all of my spray tan areas that I'm like, why can't I just accept my skin tone? And then I get mad about accepting a skin tone. And then I feel guilty about the guilt. Noah, we talked about the guilt.
Yes. I guess when you get your foot rubs, that's the place where if you got a foot rub for 24 hours, maybe that could be it.
I know. And that goddamn foot massager I bought sucks.
Brenna loves it.
I know.
You know, one man's trash. Okay. Virginia woman left hospitalized and hallucinating after venomous spider bites her lip. She was kayaking down, I forget which lake, but she was kayaking. She got bit by a spider.
Oh, my God.
And it ended up being a brown recluse.
Brown recluse. Recluses. Have you ever Googled what those wounds look like?
I mean,
they're like gunshots.
That looks like your mom's lips yesterday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, after she got filler. wow. Was she camping and this spider just like?
She was kayaking and then I guess the spider was probably on the boat.
Or on a tree and, like, dangled down.
I mean, so many times we get bit by bugs and we're just like, ah, it's just a bug, you know? And then, like, sometimes it's a fucking bug.
That's what happened to her. You know what I mean?
Like, so she started hallucinating?
Yeah, hallucinating.
I feel like I was hallucinating looking at the picture.
Yeah.
Black hole sun.
Black hole lip. I mean, look at this.
Black hole on your lip. Oh, honey. She looks like she has like one of those mustaches. She looks like she has a mustache. It's like a I don't know, an accountant in the 80s.
Isn't it so weird though? Like some spider, like there's very few, I guess, venomous spiders, but it's like God was just like, oh, I'm going to make this one a fucking badass. Like, why did this one get venomous? And Daddy Longlegs over there is like, can I get a little venom?
I hate Daddy Longlegs. I seriously would
rather get bit by a brown recluse? Come on.
This is what I hate about Daddy Longlegs. They'll be like, click, 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 click. They'll be like tapping along. And then all of a sudden, go watch the video on our YouTube for this demonstration. They'll be like, click, click, clack, 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 clack. And then all of a sudden, they just go, bah. And they like spread out on the wall and they're just like flat on the wall. And I just hate that flatness.
Oh, I'd love to give them little shoes. I'd love to see them type a Stephen King book on a typewriter. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be adorable. But their bodies are just these little dots. And then Daddy Long Legs are so gross. I just hate when they go, pah, and they just like, all their legs splay out flat on like a siding of an old house. I hate it. I want them to stay like.
How are there so many different things? What is our world? So I don't even let my brain
go
there.
Did you get bit by a brown recluse? Are you hallucinating right now?
I got bit by a brown eye recluse.
So
last
what did
night.
She? What did she do?
Huh? Oh
God. Seventh inning stretch. Fit it in.
What did she do? She's dead. No, she lived. She went to the hospital. I mean, yeah, she was just hospitalized. It didn't really go into the fact of, like, how fucked up she got. The article wasn't that long. It just talked about how she hallucinated, and obviously she lived. But I think these could be fatal. I would think that.
Oh, for sure.
Being closer to your brain.
Because you can get, can leak into your, like, you can get infections from, I mean, these wounds are horrific. They look like just all of a sudden there's a sinkhole in your skin. Like, yeah. It just creates a giant hole that gets black and infected. It's so gross.
I mean, there was a time in my life, if I got bit by a brown recluse and it was getting bad, I would just go, eh.
I know. Scabies.
Scabies, yeah.
Your scabies story.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Next story. Jake Gyllenhaal says filming love scenes with Jennifer Aniston was torture because he had a crush on her. So she had to put a old pillow in between the genitalia before they started humping.
In The Good Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's so good. She's great in that. And so was he.
Wasn't that like her first thing after Friends? Wasn't that like a big
thing? No, it was her first like dramatic. No, she did Pitch Perfect. She did... That one movie with Paul Rudd. She did, there was a couple of others.
But that was like her, like...
She's the One.
Her moment when she was,
that was
like,
her first, like, Oscar
like when
grab.
Adam Sandler did that one other
The
movie.
Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Yes. That was her first, like, dramatic role. She's great. And I love that movie. And that's a Mike White. That's the guy that made White Lotus. He wrote that movie.
Oh.
It's so good and
I gotta
quirky.
Watch. I don't know if I've ever watched it.
Oh, I'll watch it. I love it. Oh. She plays like this small town woman
grocery
who's
store,
married
right?
to, what's his, the guy, John C. Reilly who talks, wait, I, hold on. John's, wait, I can do an impression of John C. Reilly. I used to be able to.
Let's
he kind of talks,
and I'll
like
play
is
it.
In the back of his, hold on, that doesn't sound right at all.
Let's see what he actually says.
No, don't. I know. Oh. I can hear it in my head, and I can't do it. But he's her husband, which is just like, yeah, right. And she has an affair with Jake Gyllenhaal, who's like this young guy who she's like, I shouldn't be doing this. And like Jake falls in love with her, and it becomes a little torrid. And that makes sense that everyone has a crush on Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, it's got to be so... I mean, he was talking about how there's 40 people in the room during a love scene.
Usually guys don't get boners because they're so nervous and it's just so not sexual because they're acting. You know, they're doing a job.
I mean, why is it not just them two and the director goes, okay, I'm going to hit the camera. I'm going to hit record.
Because it takes a lot of people to make a production.
Why?
Because.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but like.
Camera.
action.
Yeah. There's a lot of
things. No, but I'm saying, like, once you set it up, like, this is set up. We don't need 30 other people in here. Like, what is going on here? Like, why? I guarantee they could get rid of 25 of those people.
Right.
It's like when you go buy a photo shoot in New York City and there's a model and then there's seven people. Like,
I don't know. For me, it would make me more comfortable doing a sex scene if there were more people there than just like one director. Like,
yes,
kind of
be yeah.
It'd be like a threesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What's a good number then? Eight?
I mean, what are we talking about? Like,
Daddy Long Legs?
I'm getting hornier by when we add more
Daddy
people.
Daddy Long Cock, huh? All right. Yeah.
But that must have meant he was like, he crushed on her so hard that it was like, he couldn't get out of, that he couldn't separate the two. You know, because I've heard a lot of times with these sex scenes that, you know, you don't get horny during them because they're so, you're at work.
I know, it's like a weird line because you want them to, you want the woman to think you're into her, but at the same time not too into, like, you don't want it to seem too sexual.
Yeah.
It's got to be fucking tough. Unless you go to the partner and be like, "Look, let's get it the fuck on. Like, we're hooking up."
Then a lot of times though, like, the people that are,
yeah,
you know, on set doing these romances, they do start hooking up because you make out all day, you're like touching each other. It's like, that stuff leads to, you make out with someone enough, you just start kind of maybe feeling things for them.
Maybe like if you do it on camera and you like really go for it, but then you kind of feel like icky because you're like, wait, we're just doing this for work. We might as well do it for real. You know what I mean? Like if you were, because
yeah,
like,
it's like, I already did it.
Also, like,
it's not cheating.
I don't
want to
practice
in a hotel room alone with this person.
Yeah, with just the director there.
Yeah, they're like, we only need you to hold hands for the scene. You're like, yeah, we wanted to have anal just to really
this
get...
This is Nickelodeon.
We're doing the, what's the technique? The Meisner? No, the... Were they...
Whenever I hear Meisner, I just see, like, my Jewish aunt being like, oh, you gotta act better. It's me, Meisner, over here. Like, that's all I hear. Like, I just hear, like, an old Jewish woman yelling at me.
I don't know. I've done makeout scenes for like acting before, and it's you. I'm not a good enough, like, actor to separate the two.
Yeah.
And so the only way I can act is to just like try to get into this, and then because a lot of times, even, you know, back in my days when I would make out with someone or be hooking up with someone that I didn't really like because it was in the morning and I was sober.
Yeah,
now
that's acting.
That's acting. Yeah. Like, I would seriously fake it till I made it. So I would kind of pretend like I was an actress in a thing and go, like, pretend I was a porn star, just, like, get out of my own head by pretending I'm a character. And then by faking it, you make it. You end up, like, sometimes I, like, can't have an orgasm. So I go, what would it look like to have an orgasm? Or, like, act as if. That's a thing that we talk about in recovery a lot is, like, okay, so... You don't believe in God. Why don't you just pretend there is a God? Pretend like you're someone who does believe in God. What would you do right now? Who would you talk to? What would you say? Just pray like you do believe, even though you don't. What if you did?
Ooh.
And then you end up being able to find that kind of thing.
And it goes somewhere, though. It goes somewhere inside you. Like,
yeah.
If you play that character.
So sometimes I act as if I'm having an orgasm and I have one. Because a lot of times they elude me so much. So sometimes maybe you try that.
Like The Secret.
Yeah. Yeah, manifesting it a little bit, but like just, okay, I can't have an orgasm right now. What if I was a woman who could? What would it feel like? What would, if my vagina feels literally numb, but if I could feel my vagina, what would that woman feel right now? And then it kind of happens.
Well, sometimes you could like train your brain into feeling, you know, like when you, like there's certain parts of the body that has more sensation, like more feeling, more nerves.
Yeah.
And sometimes your penis or your vagina, like kind of like dead. It's like not really connected to you. So you have to like, localize your thoughts.
Emily, Sex with Emily, she taught me when I was listening to a podcast of like when you're having sex and you're feeling really detached, like put your brain in your, like really like only try to feel with your vagina. And sometimes I'm so tapped out of my genitals.
Yeah.
I am like, they are not in the fucking room.
Tapped out of my genitals.
I am. Sometimes I just don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm.
And then sometimes you go, oh my God, wait a second. Let me just stop and like
actually put all of the feeling in there and only feel down there. And then it's like, what the fuck? Whoa, I just flipped a switch.
I mean, our brains are fucking wild.
It is wild how you can really focus on, like that trick that we learned from Ben Glebe when you're cold.
Yeah.
Remember that your blood is 98.6 degrees. There's something that's nearly 100 degrees, which if it was that hot outside, you would be hot.
Yeah.
It's pulsing through you. So when you're cold, focus on your blood. And all of a sudden, you start to feel warm. It's fucking trippy, dude.
I mean, yeah, it's, and it's, yeah, I don't know. The genitals are a weird thing, man, with me. It's a weird thing.
What do you mean?
No, just like the feeling of like, I have to like, sometimes during sex, I have to like, I just think I get like revved up. And then I get like a meditative state where like I don't feel, you would think I'd be more present, but
no,
I feel like.
No, it's like when
almost,
you're eating food when you're super hungry or super stressed and you don't taste the food. You just chew it and all of a sudden it's gone. You're like, what did I even just do? Mm-hmm. And there's sauces everywhere and you go, where's the extra sauce I had? And it's like, I ate that? When the fuck did I eat that?
That's literally me driving back from Chick-fil-A.
No, it's the
Wednesday.
Same thing when I sometimes I see you or even myself eating and I'm like, that person, you aren't even, there's no enjoyment happening
now.
It's not enjoyment. It's just stuffing a hole, which a lot of times sex is like, you're not present. Okay, so the next time we have sex, not you and I together.
Yeah.
Next time we have sex, let's try to focus on like the feel of it. At some point in the middle of it, when we start to go thinking about like something else, the baseball game, what we're gonna eat later, or what we're gonna shove into our faces later, use that as a reminder to go, oh, wait a second, let me just focus on my gens.
And if you can't, just imagine a Jewish aunt going, come on.
Come on, use the Meisner. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with our weekly sports moment.
Oh, here we go. Favorite time of the week.
Here we go. It's time for the weekly sports moment.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, boy. This one I think you might like. Okay, I hope you stay sitting down. Okay, Jaguars coach Urban Meyer.
Who Jaguars? That's the thing that's on your arm. Yeah, okay, Urban Meyer.
Says he's sorry for the distraction he
caused. I love an apology. Okay.
His team after video surfaced of him dancing with a woman who wasn't his wife.
He caused a distraction. He's apologizing for the distraction it caused.
I know. He's getting grinded on. So he's essentially not grinding on her. His hand... He kind of looks like a quarterback under a center. Like, he has his hand covering kind of his genitals, but it's in her butt crack.
Is he, like, bent over, like, squatting almost?
Well, he's sitting on a bar stool.
Oh, okay. Bar stool. Good. Like the sports.
Yeah, but like the sports thing.
Okay,
how do we
so
feel about that? Is it cheating if you're getting grinded on? Also, this is
this
right
guy
in public.
100% cheats. Yeah. I'm sorry. If your husband's getting grinded on at a bar, why is your husband at a bar like with women around dancing? Like,
no, this is the first time.
This is just the one time I did that, babe.
At that bar.
I mean, it's insane.
He was
like
with his wife and kids and his grandkids earlier that, like, at a dinner.
His
like,
grandkids?
Literally, like, yeah, like 3 minutes before that, too, which is pretty badass.
I like that he apologized for the distraction it caused. Like, it's not about, like, I apologize to my wife. I'm sure he did that on his own time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Also, we don't know the arrangement they have.
Could be open.
It could be open. I mean, honestly, it could be. And if I were with this guy, I would not mind for this to happen. I don't know how I would feel if it was with the kids and the grandkids and everything and having to take care of that. But maybe my husband wants to go get a little ass on a bar stool. And maybe I was like, maybe I'd be like, I can't wait to watch TMZ Sports later and see this. Then fuck you because it's so hot.
What do you think? Is it cheating if you're getting grinded on?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
If you know, you can't say yes or no to these things, even though I just did. But it's like, if a woman, I would say for most women in a monogamous relationship, that would be cheating. I mean, I can't, Noah, please. I mean, if you saw.
No, I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just wondering what you guys
think. I would be appalled.
Appalled.
There would need to be some kind of explanation for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, would you rather this? Would you rather him get grinded on like that in public or get a blowy in private, where then you're not embarrassed because it's not in public and no one knows.
Oh, I don't. For me, it's more about my feelings that are hurt, not other people.
No, yeah, but your feelings would be hurt more by the more people that knew that your husband probably cheated.
I guess one is like an actual sexual act, so that would not bode well. But I don't know. Like, the guy could have stepped, like he could have stood up and walked away or something, or been like, excuse me, I need some space.
Would you rather grind in public, blowy in private?
I'd rather him get a blowjob in private, just because I'd rather hear about, I think that's hotter. And the public thing,
so you'd
makes
rather
it,
him get a blowy in public.
Well, the thing is, like, if I ever get into a relationship and I engage in this kind of the thing that I like, which is
football.
Yeah, the thing that I like, which is guys kind of fooling around with other women and then telling me about it. I unless I'm out with it to everyone about my open relationship, I'll feel embarrassed because I'm like, people are going to think that you're like sneaking around on me. And then I'm like,
not in control of it.
Yeah. So I would be annoyed at that. But in general, like I would assume this guy, if you're getting grinded on at a bar by a random woman
in front of
30 minutes after you're with your family, you are definitely getting blowjobs in private. Like it's one and the same. I do think, though, that you should apologize to the Cardinals for the distraction the blowjob and the sex you were having caused that team.
Caused a loss?
No, wait, actually, you need to apologize to Brenna for the distraction the baseball game
I'm ready.
caused you to have in your sex life.
Look, last night, things got out of control. I want to apologize not only to my lovely girlfriend, Brenna, but to the whole organization of the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm just a man, okay? I'm just a man. Andrew Collins, just a man. That's all I am. And sometimes men do things that they don't even want to do. And I'm sorry about the distraction. I won't happen again. If it does happen again, I will take ownership again. I'm not blaming this on the team. I'm not blaming this on the other woman.
This is almost better than you when the other night you were showing me what it looks like when an athlete throws a ball versus when an actor being an athlete throws a ball.
Kenny Powers throwing a baseball is so fun. Yeah.
And that was a better portrayal.
This is a fun character. I really like this.
I feel like you practicing your golf swing in the mirror is almost like you've been practicing that. You've seen it so much. We've seen apologies from athletes so many times. You just nailed that.
And comedians. Yeah.
I'm a man. I'm just a man. And if it happens again, I will take accountability.
It's no one else's fault except my own.
Yep.
If it happened, you know.
I'd like to keep this a private matter between my wife and my family. And I'm ashamed.
I never want to say it, but I'm dealing with some mental issues of my own. I try to keep it private.
I'm a man of God.
I'm a man of God, Jesus.
Oh, it's God's fault. he's fine because he's a man of God. Never mind, we forgive him. Okay, let's get to Fanthrax.
I love picturing Avi like in the living room just doing that and Noah just like
recording him.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it happened.
How many takes did he do?
I think he gave me like 7.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's nice.
Fanthrax. That's pretty good. We got it in one.
Let's hear how low you can go.
Fanthrax.
That's really
that
good.
Like your farts.
All right, let's get to Fanthrax, our weekly fan letter voicemail dump.
Okay, so our first one comes from Abby.
Hey, Nikki, Noah, and Andrew. This is Abby. I just wanted to drop in and tell you this little story. So this, I am in the middle of taking yoga teacher training, and this past week we had an anatomy lesson, and the teacher brought in a skeleton, and all I kept thinking was, and so I was kind of chuckling to myself, and the girl sitting next to me asked what was so funny, and so naturally I had to tell her that my bestie, Nikki Glazer, has a hilarious joke about how skeletons are always smiling, which made her laugh too, and so thank you for helping me make a new friend in a room full of 30 people that I had never met before. And also, I'm going to be at your Kansas City show this weekend, and I can't fucking wait. My husband just informed me that he got us meet and greet tickets because he knows how obsessed I am with you guys. And so I, you know, I'm just so freaking pumped. I will see you guys this weekend. Bye.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What's her name? Mandy?
Abby.
Amy.
Huh? Abby. 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 We're both way off.
Yeah.
Abby, we'll see you this weekend. That's so exciting. Oh my God. We gotta take a picture doing like that. Skeletons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or a little video.
I love that. Yeah, use any kind of joke I've made to be like, yeah, my friend did this joke, and it's to make friends. That's a great idea.
Also, it's like she's probably stressed out. She's in a class. The skeleton comes in, and then she sees it, and it's just like, you
and
know.
If someone laughs at the joke, you know they're cool. Yeah. Like, you know they get it, and they're kind of weird. And, like, they just, yeah, instant friend.
I see her turning to one person and go, dah, 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 and they go.
And then well, especially the other in a yoga like, training class. People can kind of be too cool for school. Because
you know, they're just like, recovering from addiction, and they're like, I need something to sweat, but without, like, a real job.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, that's so cool. I'm always so, like, flattered that, like, people who are, like, into yoga, like, listen to the show.
Yeah. Because
I'm so not. I mean, I could really benefit from some yoga probably, but it's so slow for me.
It's too slow. I need fast yogas.
Wait, is there fast yoga, I
there
wonder?
There is.
No.
Is. Yeah, it's called vinyasa.
Oh, that's that really?
It's fast-ish, vinyasa? But you could probably get even speedier. You could put it on two times.
Yeah, that's
just
like my podcast. No, Abby, I'm so excited to meet you this weekend. And you can always tell when there's besties at the meet and greets versus just reggies.
Oh, there's some great people out
wait,
there.
I never read that note from that one guy. He gave us a note yesterday. I'll go get it. Yeah. One second. Let me just go get a quick Fanthrax that we got at the meet and greet last week.
This guy came up. He was wearing a Dustin Poirier shirt.
Oh. Like,
and so he was in, you know, he was a bestie. And he was so nice. He wrote us handwritten letters.
Oh,
like.
He wrote-
Oh, yeah, he wrote he you did? One. Well, maybe we'll, when you come here, you'll read it.
Yeah.
It was so nice and sweet.
Wait, shit, I think I only have, oh, I only have Noah's. I don't have mine for some reason.
All right, let's read Noah's to
I
her.
I lost what? Mine.
I lost my own from this guy, but I do have Noah's.
Can we read yours, Noah, to you?
Oh, okay. Let me put my head in
thank
my
thank you
shirt.
For being a crucial piece of something I look forward to every day. I always appreciate what you put together and your perspective on things and your consistency in saying, here's Nikki, is something every person should aspire to obtain, whether it be their professional life or hobbies. Speaking of hobbies, your love of metal and jujitsu make you among the biggest badasses I know. BJJ is something I'd like to start soon myself, Brazilian jujitsu, as I would love to be more knowledgeable on the applications of what I watch every Saturday. The two line events I have tickets for are this show and UFC 268 next month. And nice. I feel like that pretty much sums up my interests. I just adore all three of you because you guys keep me laughing and make me better as a person. Your attitudes and views inspire me to continue to work on myself and improve. I am indebted to all of you and I wish you all the best in the world. Love you, bestie. All this well's Derek.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
So freaking sweet. Up. Noah was like covering her face the whole time. Isn't it so intense to get letters addressed to you? I feel the same way. No, I was telling Andrew this other day that I honestly, Fanthrax, every time you press play, I get a lump in my throat because I get nervous that I just can't stand all the, like, the love feels too much.
Right. Yeah, I know. We have to find like that perfect balance. I think that's been like the theme of the episode.
I know. All I want is love. And yet when I get it, I go, no, 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 I don't deserve that. Please don't give that to me. I promise you, I'm shit. Ugh. That is so nice. So nice. Is this the one to Dust from Dustin?
Derek.
Oh, this is from Maria. I also got a thing from Maria. I wasn't going to write you because I figured so many people do. Then I remember what you said on the pod about bystander effect. Everyone assumes everyone else is doing it. I feel compelled to write for so many reasons. I feel like we're swell mates. I like that. I'm also vegan, 100% for the animals because I truly love them more than people. And I eat and eating meat is so cool. Speaking of cool, Vegas, the most cool place, capital of cool, but I do love it here. Oh, I got this note from Maria in Vegas. I'm from Canada. Close to Niagara Falls, another kuh place. Another thing that makes us swell mates is I also have a gay male bestie. Just kidding. I know Andrew is straight. But like you, I sometimes wonder if I'm bi. Women don't seem capable of hurting women like men do. Lastly, here's what I admire the most about you. How transparent you are. Fuck. Is she calling me pale? Fuck the negative. Fuck the negative losers on Reddit. Similar to you, I have struggled with things and admittedly still do. You have helped me realize how fucked up the diet and exercise industry is. I have used a lot of your strategies and continue to do so in my battle. I just wanted to thank you. You are my Taylor Swift, and I mean that. I hope you enjoy the Smarties. Oh, this girl gave me Smarties from Canada. The chocolate treat that I love that's like the M&Ms of Canada. So thank you so much. Sweet. And I have a couple notes also that I'm going to save for next week that people have given me in person. So if you want to write me a note in person for the meet and greet, I will read those on the Fanthrax eventually. So thank you so much, Maria and Derek. Let's get to some voice memos or some more voice memos if we have time.
Yeah. Okay.
Handwritten. So nice.
So nice.
See them writing it by candlelight.
So this one comes from Kelly.
Okay.
Hi, Nojuki. This is Kelly from Tennessee. wanted to start by saying how much I love all three of you and how much I love the podcast. So thank you for doing this every single day. But I wanted to tell you about a mispronunciation that I had. So I was with a group of friends and there was a board game sitting on the table and I was kind of looking at it for a long time throughout the night as we were talking, and it had dark figures on it, but I was confused by the name of the board game. So anyway, once I finally, one of my friends held it up to play it, I go, "What the heck is Codenames?" And everybody looked at me and started laughing so hard because the title of the game was
Codenames.
I had no idea.
I love that game.
One word.
Was it one word, Codename? Is that why she got it wrong?
But it clearly said Codenames once they said that.
Codenames.
Love you guys. Thanks.
Love you, Cal.
Sounds like a good candy.
Codenames is so fun. I've played it so many times.
What do you do?
It's really fun. It's a bunch of words that you put on like a board, like 5x5. There's cards and they're words, and then you have each have words, and you try to. I try to get you to guess what the words are by. So I have five cards. That five of the cards that I have match five of the words on a board of like 30 words, and I want you to guess
which word is the 30.
I need to guess. Get you to guess my five.
Whoa.
And by saying, but I can't say the word. I have to say a word that might connect. Like three of, you know, as many as possible. So if I, three of the words are coffee.
Is this a joke premise? Here we
go. Bear.
Okay.
And garden. I might say brown. And then you might go, okay, brown is a bear. Coffee is brown. Maybe garden is brown. I don't know.
No,
and I'm like,
do black. Black bear, black coffee.
What about black garden? Like I'm trying
black
to get you.
Black old son.
But you might, so you might say that, like, she might say Black Hole Sun and then Soundgarden, but I don't know if that's good enough. And yeah. I have to, like, look at you and be like, please know that I meant, it's really fun.
Yeah,
so anyway,
no, I like that game.
Final thought. Let's do one more Fanthrax.
If you haven't yet, I don't know if there's tickets still available, but we're coming to Des Moines, Kansas. Well, we'll be in Des Moines tonight.
Yeah,
we're Kansas in Des Moines City right now. Chicago.
Kansas City and Chicago this
we're
weekend.
We're driving. Did you
there's
say
two
that?
Shows in Chicago, 7 o'clock and 9:30. So make sure you
I
know
think
that
they
there's
might be sold out.
And then, but you might I might be single tickets available. But Kansas City tomorrow and Friday, you definitely you can tickets available. I'm by definitely I mean I think so.
Okay, so this one an important message.
Hi, Andrew, Noah, and Nikki. This is Maddie. First off, I just wanted to say it to Andrew. I'm so happy your dad is okay now and doesn't have cancer. And I wanted to share my story because it's kind of weird. But I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer when I was really young. I was like 22 or 23 in 2013. And I had no idea anything was wrong with me. And my regular doctor found a lump in my neck that I hadn't noticed, and she felt it. You know how they feel your neck at the beginning of a physical checkup. And I got the lump biopsied. The doctor kind of brushed it off and like told me it wasn't very likely that I had thyroid cancer. But yeah, it came back that I did. And my thyroid was taken out, but I'm okay now, and
yeah, it's really crazy how you can have cancer and just have no idea, because thyroid cancer grows very slowly, and so I probably had that lump growing there for years, and if my doctor hadn't found it, I could be way worse off. So yeah, it's crazy.
She sounds like the girl from Chasing Amy.
Yeah, she has a great voice.
I mean, I thought a 7-year-old stole her mom's phone.
No, she's
no, well, she's so cute. Yeah.
What a thing to go through at that young of an age, and you never think in your early 20s that you're gonna have cancer, especially a type of cancer that you don't
especially
really
when
hear
the
that much about.
The doctor kind of like, I love when doctors are like, probably not gonna, and then they got to come back in and be like, oh shit, I was,
you know, yeah.
Yeah.
And they like were Googling back in the fucking kitchen area. Yeah.
Probably just anxiety to lump in.
They
your...
do always feel your, like when they're feeling, they like feel things.
I
and
have
you just
a lump
are like,
right here.
It's your Adam's apple, dude.
No. I have like a real lump on there, but my dad felt it and he said it's like 99.8.
I know. As soon as we started talking about cancer, I was like, oh God, Andrew's going to get scared here.
Well, you always hear these cancer stories like, my pinky started to hurt a little bit, and then I found out
it was cancer. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, thank God, girl. But that's crazy. I wonder how many more years you could have had that, and it wouldn't have been like if it's very slow. And she said she's already had it for years. And again, like we were talking, I'm guessing she left this message after the other day when we were talking about, like, these appointments that you make to go get your cancers checked out. And it's like, okay, well, it's so funny because I tried to make an appointment. You remember the other day we were like, let's make our doctor's appointments. Call the place.
How long?
April.
I mean, this is
April.
Out of control.
And I go, I made them check before I gave them my insurance information. I go, I'll pay out of pocket. Let's get the date. And then I go, okay, no. And I wasn't really going to pay out of pocket. I was just going to give them my insurance after they gave me the date. But that's ridiculous.
I mean, what kind of doctor? Vagina?
Yeah.
Not till April?
April, I mean, dude.
What are these people doing?
How did you find a dermatologist?
I went yesterday. I asked the doctor friend we have in the building if they could recommend anyone.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then the person that came in, she was fantastic, but she was a nurse practitioner that looked over my... The doctor didn't even... I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You don't can't see...
That's what they said to me. They go, we can have a nurse see you. And I go, I see nurses all the time in my building. And I don't want these people looking at me to like check for cervical cancer. No offense to nurses. I'm sure nurse practitioners, they pretty much
are
like,
better.
I know as much as the fucking doctor.
They do.
Just trust me.
They do.
But, you know, why do we have doctors then?
I mean,
you know,
to have
for
sex
peace
with
of
those
mind.
Nurses. Yeah, it's it's an interesting. I mean, April. That's and they say it was. Oh, this was great. So I go. They're like, oh, so you look good. This one's
a
little
irregular.
What did
they think about the ear thing?
It was something like it sounded grosser than cancer. You ever get that? It's like, oh, it's scabiitis, serendipitous. Your ear's disgusting. I go, okay, can you just tell me I have cancer?
I know what you had. It's like I've heard of it before. I know exactly, like, there's a really gross word for it.
Oh, and then they, like, described. I was like, enough. And they go, well, it could be confusing. I go, I get it. It's not. They go, if it grows bigger, we can take it off.
Did they say you're just, like, it's from, like, not showering?
No.
It's not, like, a weird growth. Because I've heard of that, of, like, not shower, but, like, a fungus.
Oh, no, they asked me if I was German. And I go, well, okay, maybe we should get the doctor in here. No. I said I was from Eastern Europe, Jew, and they're like, oh, yeah, these kind of skin conditions in that region. I go, okay,
no,
all
old
of
Meisner.
Europe. Yeah, all right, up there. So then they go, then the thing gets done, and they're like, how's a year from now? And then you check out, and the girl goes, okay, how's October 6th, Wednesday, around 9:30? I'm like,
Yeah,
I think that would work perfect.
The only things that are scheduled that far in advance are weddings.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing where you're like, I've saved this date for something else. Nothing.
They say it to you like 9:45 or 11.
We might be underwater by then. What are you talking about? It's crazy. Sometimes the dates for these things, they go, oh, your special's coming out in, you know.
At least that's a real,
April 2023, whatever it is. Yeah. And I just go, We're not even going to be around. What are you even talking about? That's not a real date. Why do we even? The calendar shouldn't even go that far. We should just be like penciling in calendar. It should be a
yes.
There shouldn't be calendars being made to last that long.
But this is the problem, because this is why you're till April, because people have already scheduled. So many people are.
What's wrong with responsible people filling up these schedules? Let's just. Why aren't walk-ins welcome?
Exactly. Well, there are in urgent care, but you don't want to go to an urgent care doctor.
Why not? I've been to urgent care for so many things, and it's been like, boom, boom, get the drops, so I'm out of there.
Get your vagina looked at by an urgent care doctor. See what happens. I don't know if that happens.
I don't think they do like OB, like a generic checkups at the like OBGYN.
Maybe Urban Meyer can do it for you. The woman,
by the way, when I tried to do the OBGYN, they go, are you, is this for like pregnancy? And I'm like, well, I'll have, if it was, my baby would be born by April. What are you talking? This is ridiculous.
It would already be in preschool. It would be driving.
You know what? I'll hold off. I'll tell the baby to chill out. Like
imagine being
cell
in
division.
Texas and you're like, you're on your fifth week of maybe thinking you're pregnant. And you're like, oh, how's
right.
April? No, I need to get this done within 6 days or my life is over.
Red tape.
Well, this is the thing, I think, because so many people schedule a year ahead. All the schedules filled up with people from 10 months ago that might cancel that day.
There's also think about COVID and how backed up the system is of all the people who avoided appointments.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think there are enough doctors to see us all.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But the thing is, it's really weird when one doctor is backed up till April and then you call another doctor and they're like, yeah, we can get you in at 2 p.m. today. And are you bad? You're a bad doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you? There's going to be some difference here.
Yeah, there's got to be. Yeah. I mean, that's why these people I kind of felt good about, because they gave me November.
Yeah.
Initially.
I'm going to, so I got in at an OB. Dr. Fist is going to really help me.
Dr. Fist. OBYGN doesn't feel like one of those eye tests. Whenever I hear that, I just think of an eye test. Like, OB. Like, the letters are just like.
What? I always think of like a gym. Like you think like the OB gym.
Oh, the
like
OB
you're going
gym.
In, and I remember Tommy Jonigan had a joke that one time his young boy was going into the doctor and he went to an OBGYN and he like literally like signed up and like he was just sitting in the waiting room with all these women just like very confused. And I was like, you probably went in because you thought it was like a gym. Like you thought it was like for boy, like your little boy getting a physical for your sports. And you were like,
Oh yeah.
Because I think that's what it was. And he was like, I think that probably was it.
Well, when they asked him to cough, and they're like, sir, you have a penis. Or he's like, do you want me to cough? And he's like, is there a pussy? And you don't have a pussy, sir. And I'm 9. Why am I here? Like, what is he doing? Like,
I think he was filling out the form and it said the date of your last period. And he was like, when I wrote a sentence yesterday. Yeah. All right, we got to go. Thank you so much for the Fanthrax. I'm so glad you are alive and well. Kelly, I think it was Kelly that gave us the advice. Yeah. Pretty much the advice is go to the doctor, let them check your neck
and
follow up on things that people think might be suspicious, and trust your gut. And thank you to everyone else that sent in the Fanthrax, and especially for the handwritten notes. I'll see you this weekend, Abby, in Kansas City, and maybe I'll see some other besties. Tickets still available for those shows and a lot of dates on the books. Thank you so much for listening to the show, you guys. We will see you on Monday on the Nikki Glaser podcast. Don't be Kuh, and
Antonoff.